Almighty God, our Father, we come to thee. Those who are redeemed in Christ Jesus, and we confess our sins, and we pray thee to come to us in this time of worship and renew our spirits. May we open our hearts to thee, because we know thou hast long since opened thy heart to us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. A few years ago, I read a book by Stuart Holbrook entitled Dreamers of the American Dream. It's a delightful book, and in many ways very inspiring. It reminds us that we had forebears in this country who were convinced that life could be very different for many people, and they had a conviction that they were call to help to make it different. Now, not all of them were successful by any means in their dreams, but they dreamed. And it's a part of our heritage. It's a part of their legacy. That at our finest in this country, we like to believe that we're dreamers, that we're visionaries, and that there is a beautiful life to which we want to be a captive, of which we want to be a part. Now, in this book, Holbrook says three things about these American dreamers, which I find very fascinating. Now, at the time I first read them, I thought immediately of another book. It too tells about dreamers. It's the book of Acts. It was written a long time ago, and I like very much to be aware of that book because it's a part of my heritage too. It tells about my forebears who were dreamers. On the day of Pentecost, something stupendous happened. And when the question was raised by some who were there, what does this mean? And some of them replied, this means that some folk have got drunk early. There was one man who said, no, I will tell you what it means. It means that God's work with his people through the centuries made clear to us in the great prophet Joel has come to pass. He told about people having visions and dreaming dreams, and now it is all come true. What you see happening, he said, is a dream come true. Now Peter continues to talk about God's dealing with the Jewish people in his sermon, and at the very end of it, he says to all who hear him, now this dream is meant for you and for your children and for all who are far away. That means that we can come to the chapel this morning and hear about a dream come true that was meant not simply for our forefathers of yesteryear, but is meant for us. The dream is meant for you and your children and for all who are far away. Now, when we look at what Holbrook said about American dreamers, and when we look at what the author of Acts tells us about Christian dreamers, we find, I think, a word from God for us today. I am very sure that as we begin a new semester, that it's an easy thing for all of us, the students, faculty, administration, to ponder really whether we are going almost worn out, or whether we are hoping really that we can catch a vision and have a spurt of vitality. We are not always sure, are we? And I'm very sure that all of us in the midst of our work, especially when it comes piling it upon us, wonder at times really if we are in God's work or if we are just preparing for it. And I think that one of the reminders that we need to bring to ourselves is indeed that we are in God's work and we need God's word where we are. A.E. Day, the great Methodist preacher, in the early years of his life, had a grave illness, and he was told that he would have to leave the eastern part of the United States. He would have to go to the far west. He then had a great spiritual experience, he said, because he opened his life to God as he never had before. The result of that was that he did not go west at all. He remained in the east and has lived a very long life. And in his book on prayer, he says that what he learned was that he did not need a new place to live in the west. What he needed was a new experience of God in the east. And really, I think that in moments like these, at the beginning of a new term, we may wish we were somewhere else, but we are here. And we need a new experience of God where we are. Now, the book of Acts, this book of dreams, reminds us of the same thing that Stuart Holbrooke says about American dreamers. We learn that dreamers begin with a different point of reference. Now, there was all kind of wonderment about what was happening at the day of Pentecost, but the significant word for us is that Simon Peter was convinced that what was happening was God's work, and it was the time for him to show that Jesus gave all that was happening its true meaning. And throughout the book of Acts, we find that Jesus is the one who gives meaning to God's work that has reached its climax in the revelation that we know in his life, death, and resurrection. He begins with Jesus, with the history of God to his people, and beginning with that, he says to those who hear him, Jesus is the point of reference to whom I call to your attention in this hour. I remember so well that when I was serving my first church, that we had to buy some additional property, and we had only the property that the church building rested on. And a surveyor came one winter day, and because of the complications in the property lines, he spent a great deal of time establishing one point of reference. Now, I've thought many times since then that one point that he established that day made all of the difference that day in the other surveying that he did. That point had to be right. And beginning with that point, he moved out. So it is that we who dream the Christian dream are reminded by our forefathers who dreamed before us that our basic point of reference is Jesus Christ. And we move out from him. And the early church at their finest reminds us of what God can do in folks like you and me when we are really prepared for him to be the central point of reference in our pilgrimage. We are reminded also that dreamers are swept along by an inner force. Now, as a matter of fact, Stuart Holbrooke tells us in the recounting of the lives of these great people that they had an almost overwhelming conviction that grew up inside them. And many of these people preferred to be defeated rather than to give up their conviction. Now, in a very genuine sense, those of us who have inherited the dream of our forefathers in the book of Acts are in a very profound sense aware that our strength is not ours, but the gift of God. At our best, we know that what we are is God's gift to us. At the same time, we are also aware that, like many other people, we are not always molded by the force within us, but by the forces outside of us. We are always hoping, and we are among them, aren't we, that there will be some easy way, some outside force that will see us through. Some force that we can control, some force that we can manipulate. Now, as a matter of fact, the force that lives within us is not any that is our own, that is the result of any psychologizing tonic or the appropriation of any stoic lecture. It is a gift beyond us. It's the gift of the God who comes to us in the present tense. But all our days, we too have to live with the awareness that it's easy for us to hope that some outside force that we can control will really be the masters of our pilgrimage. Now, some of you have heard me tell before a story that I want to tell again. I was in divinity school at Yale at the time, And I was going out to the First Baptist Church in Essex to act as interim pastor. My wife went with me. And when we had services, my wife would sit with the superintendent of the Sunday school, his wife, and their son and daughter. The children were small, and they would sit, my wife, the little boy, then his mother, then his sister, then his father. And on this particular morning, my wife reminded me later, I was praying what we call the pastoral prayer, in which the layman called the long prayer. And she said I had been especially fervent in prayer that day, praying for things in the heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. And it was their custom to keep the little fellow quiet by feeding him lifesavers. In the midst of this long series of petitions to the Lord, she said the little fellow reached across her lap in desperation and said to his mother, "Give me another lifesaver." Well, I know what the little fellow was talking about. There are all kinds of times when we long for lifesavers that we simply take, and that solves the problem. But we are called not to depend upon any force that we can conjure up, but the gift of God, which is the gift of God in His powerful presence. And Peter that day reminds the church for all the years to come that its strength is given it. It is beyond it. It is the gift of God, who promises His power and gives it to His people. Dreamers are people who end with a different goal. They want life to be different, not merely for themselves, but for others. They want to be instruments of a new life. And surely it is true that this has been true in American history, and it's true in the history of the church. Beginning from the days of its earliest history, its mission has been the proclamation of the kingdom of God, to show forth Christ in the center of God's kingdom, to remind men and women that the marvel of our faith is not merely that we will one day go to heaven, but that one day, surely, heaven came to us, and we are called to show it forth. Peter wrote, "You are chosen that you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." To show forth Christ and to show forth the oneness of humanity in Christ. At the very end of the book of Acts, Paul is speaking and he reminds his hearers, not all of whom are happy with what he has to say, that the mission of the church, the mission of the preacher, is to declare the oneness of Jews and Gentiles and Jesus Christ. He set forth His purpose in Christ, the Scripture teaches us, to unite all things in Him. So we show forth the Christ and the oneness of humanity through Him, as we show forth eternity in the midst of the years. Showing forth eternity in the midst of the years. This is what the dream is all about. It's showing forth the reality of God in these present years of our life. Again, Scripture teaches us, the hour is coming and now is when we enter upon the fellowship with God that is life eternal. And when we hear the word of God from the book of Acts, and when we are reminded that it's a story of a dream come true, we pose for ourselves the question, do I dream the dream? Has the dream come true for me? And we hear the word of Peter long ago, The dream is meant for you and for your children and for all who are far away. Father, who has blessed our coming in, bless our going forth, that we will be strengthened to be children of light in the world thou dost love. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.